20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are all wonderful human beings for being here and joining me today, whether you're on the audio channel or on YouTube. We really appreciate it a ton. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews, and a huge shout out to Carla Delgado for giving away 50 Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. So we've got a bunch of new members. If you're new and you didn't know you were a member, well, thank Carla. She was awesome for handing out 50 new memberships on Happy Hour on Friday. So appreciate that. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, make sure to check out that as well. One real, you know, minor news news and notes piece to get to before we get to our main topic today. And that is that the Packers apparently did want Sean Duggan back as their linebackers coach. There seemed to be a little bit of a tug of war between Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur about having Sean Duggan stay in Green Bay. It didn't seem like it was anything too serious. And it ultimately, I think, kind of came down to Jeff Hafley's like, hey, I would like to bring Sean Duggan along with me. And then Matt's like, nope, we're keeping him here as the linebackers coach. And then Jeff said, no, you're not, because we're going to make him defensive coordinator and you can't stop that. And unless Green Bay was going to make him defensive coordinator, which obviously they didn't, they went with Jonathan Gannon. That was it. There was nothing that Green Bay can do. There are certain promotions that you can block. There are certain promotions that you cannot block. Any sort of, you know, position coach to a coordinator role, a true legitimate offense, defense, special teams coordinator role, you cannot block. All right. If it's a passing game coordinator, a run game coordinator, that you can block if you want. So they could have blocked Mahaffey from going to Philadelphia because he was going from a wide receivers coach to a tight ends coach and a run game coordinator. That is considered lateral. You have the ability to block that if you want. Green Bay didn't. They let Mahaffey go. But in the case of Duggan, despite them wanting him back because it's a defensive coordinator role, they do not have the ability to block that. Jeff Hafley got what he wanted. His guy, who has been with him since his Boston College days as his new defensive coordinator in Miami. It's one of those interesting ones where I think some people, I know Justice was one that definitely wanted to go in a different direction at linebackers coach. It did feel like there was a step back from Campanelli to Duggan this past year. Whether or not that will be improved upon this year, or whether they can, you know, they now have somebody better or not, that remains to be seen. But we do know now that Green Bay did want to keep Duggan, but Miami was able to get him and Hafley was able to get him by promoting him to defensive coordinator. As mentioned, that was our only news and notes piece from Friday. Let's get into our main topic right away, which is cornerback and specifically targets in free agency and via trade and potential cut candidates that Green Bay could be interested in this offseason. There's a lot of names that we're going to go through today. It's an interesting batch. It's an interesting group. I think there's some really good fits. I think some of them might be out of Green Bay's price range. Maybe we can find a diamond in the rough or two. So let's jump into it right away. As we've done with these other breakdowns, in order to understand where Green Bay needs to look here, we need to look at what the cornerback room looks like first. And as you know, and I know, it's not great at the moment. Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs, Shamar Bartholomew, Tyron Herring. Maybe Jalen Simpson-ish too, but I think even if they bring him back, it'll be as a safety more than a corner, but we'll see. But really, Nixon, Valentine, Hobbs, and the rest is pretty irrelevant. Exclusive rights free agents, Bo Melton and Kamal Haddon, they'll bring both of those guys back. Those are no-brainers. It's vet minimum deals for their length of time in the league. So you really have five. Nixon, Valentine, Hobbs, Melton, and Haddon. And we should say as well, and actually I haven't gone over this yet, with Nate Hobbs, after Goody's press conference, Rob Domofsky was on ESPN Milwaukee. And he said, you know, his overarching thought was like, why are we going to take anything for granted from Brian Gutekunst in that press conference when he flat out lied to us, when we know that guys like Rashawn Gary and Nate Hobbs are not going to be back? That was interesting to me. I'm interested to see what happens with Nate Hobbs. I think they probably bring him back, but Rob was adamant. There's no way that Nate Hobbs is going to be back. I don't know if that's inside info from Rob or if that's just, you know, reading the tea leaves. What he mentioned was, you know, that roster bonus that Hobbs is due, that will get sorted out very, very quickly. I'm interested. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone. Rob's been doing this a lot longer than I have, and I would lean on him. And if he very well could know something too, and I certainly don't have any inside information on this, but that was interesting to hear from Rob. And I know, I think Pete Doherty in his column wrote too that he would expect that that Nate Hobbs would be gone. So I'm interested. I'm interested to see what happens there. There was a little buzz that I heard as well that that Hobbs might be gone. That, you know, maybe from their side of things, they might be expecting a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. That's a coin flip to me at the moment. But let's say he is. Now you're down to Nixon and Valentine with Kamal Haddon, Bo Melton. Haddon's played a handful of snaps. Melton still has yet to play a defensive snap. Valentine and Nixon were both really, really rough at the end of 2025. This is a corner room that is in complete need of a makeover. No two ways around it. And whether or not Green Bay wants to do that or can do that, that remains to be seen. But this is maybe the biggest opportunity for a true makeover on the roster is at the cornerback position. So what's available? What could Green Bay be interested in? We're going to start in the free agent market. And we're going to start with a player that was in Green Bay last year for a very small period of time. And the one of the very few questions that I wish I could have asked that we just didn't, you know, get to, unfortunately, you know, time was up and they, you know, they kept it to a 35, 38 minutes, whatever it was. We didn't get to ask about Trayvon Diggs. That was an interesting $500,000 investment for one playoff snap and a, you know, handful of snaps in that Vikings game that was completely irrelevant. Is there any interest in bringing Diggs back? The reason that this is a conversation, usually once a player's released, well, that's that. It's done, it's over with. But Diggs was on a contract that was completely unattainable, you know, to keeping him on the roster. There was no chance they were going to be able to keep him. And if you're Diggs and if you're Diggs' agent, you're pressing Green Bay to say, hey, you're not going to keep us on this deal. We're not going to just negotiate with you. So release us and we'll still work with you, but we want to be able to negotiate with 32 teams. We don't want to just be negotiating with you. And we know you're not going to keep us on this contract anyway. So release us and then we'll go from there. Maybe that's what happened. It could also be that Green Bay had no interest in him. And that could be the case. It could be that Diggs had no interest in Green Bay. Because remember, he was claimed. He had no say over it. I don't think that's it, but we just don't know. But let's say there is still some potential mutual interest and possibilities here. He's 6'2", 195, turns 29 in September, had a 58.7 PFF grade this past year, 56.6 the year before that. In coverage, had 21 pass attempts against, 16 completions, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no pass breakups, a 157.2 passer rating with 3 penalties. It did not go great for Diggs this past year. The year before was targeted 51 times, 33 completions given up, 368 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 4 pass breakups, an 89.3 passer rating with 5 penalties. It should be noted that he's also not great against the run. Before we even get into anything else, I should note here, what makes this complicated is we don't know fully what type of defense that Jonathan Gannon is going to run. Is he going to go a 3-4 with a quarter style defense? If he does, that kind of changes your prototype for what you want at corner. Are they going to continue to run a lot of the Halfley stuff? If so, that potentially changes the prototype of maybe what you want at some of these corners. Are you planning on playing a defense where the corners are going to have to be super active in run defense? Or are they primarily going to be cover players and they're not going to be involved all that much in the run game? They're probably going to be involved. You're almost always going to be involved. But you get my point. Things change depending on what scheme you want to run. And we just don't know at this point in time what that scheme might potentially look like for Jonathan Gannon. Either way, I don't think Diggs is a great fit. He gives you some ball skills. He's not a great cover corner. He's not a great tackler. I think you probably want to go in a different direction here. But if you want a reclamation project and somebody that probably doesn't break the bank at age 29, that you get a little bit cheaper, has that connection with Micah Parsons, you could try it. And again, he had an opportunity in Green Bay. He played pretty, you know, okay in that Vikings game. He nice PFF grade. I had more as a neutral grade, but yeah, you could try it if you wanted. Again, not going to break the bank. He's got good size. I don't think this is going to happen. I could be wrong, but it just feels to me that if there was going to be something where they try to negotiate, it maybe would have gone a little bit longer. The fact that they just released him right away, I have a feeling that maybe that means they're going to go in a different direction here, not with Trayvon Diggs, but he does remain an option, which is why we touched on him first. Next up is Jamel Dean, one of the more underrated corners and just players in the NFL over his time in the league. He has just put up consistently good season after consistently good season after consistently good season. He is such a good corner. He's 6'1", 206. He will turn 30 in October, so he's getting up there a little bit. He had an 80.6 PFF grade this year, 75.7 the year before that. His grades have just been a picture of consistency throughout his time in the NFL. Targeted 55 times this past year, only allowed 25 completions. 311 yards, one touchdown, three picks, one pass breakup, a 46.9 passer rating with four penalties. The year before, was targeted 63 times, gave up 41 completions for 497 yards, but no touchdowns, one pick, six pass breakups, an 82.6 rating, four penalties. He's been a very good tackler throughout his career. This would be an unbelievable signing. This is not somebody that you probably want to do the traditional four-year Green Bay sort of deal with, but you know he's going to be more, I think, than what Darius Slay went on, what, like the one-year, $10 million deal. Slay was older and Dean's better. I bet he gets like a three-year 45 in somewhere in that range. And it probably amounts to really a more of a two-year deal. It's probably outside of Green Bay's price range, if we're being honest. But my goodness, would he come in? He'd be your number one corner right away. You'd get him for these next couple of years as you're really trying to make a run at a Super Bowl. You know, Keyshawn then becomes the two. Valentine goes to the bench, Bullard in the slot. Man, if you tell me right now you've got Jamel Dean, Keyshawn Nixon, even if it's Nixon as the two, I know. Even if it's Nixon as the two and then Dean as the one, Bullard in the slot, Williams and McKinney at safety, I feel much better about the secondary just with that addition of a Jamel Dean. Again, I don't expect it. I don't think that's going to be mostly within their price range. Could they do it? Sure. They usually don't do it for somebody that's 30 years old, but man, would he be a heck of addition to that corner room. We'll be right back. Well, we made it. The big game is almost here. And there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. This week, Prize Picks has a special max discount for the big game, live in the app right now. Drake May just needs one passing yard for the max discount to win. Just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. Now, Prize Picks is super simple to play. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. You can copy lineups that you like or use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. One of my favorite aspects about Prize Picks is making multiple sports picks in the same lineup. With football coming to an end, I love combining basketball and hockey in the same lineup. And guess what? Baseball is going to be here before you know it as well. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Next is Nashon Wright, the Chicago Bear. 6'4", great size. He's a little bit on the thinner side. 185 when he came out, might be a little bit bigger than that now. But a little bit on that kind of skinnier side. Still think he's good enough to fit in this defense, especially if it's a cover four style. I think he'd fit it very, very well. Turns 28 in September, so not old. You probably could give him a 4-year, but you probably look at it more of a 3-year deal for Nashon Wright. Had a 65.9 PFF grade. It was really his first significant action in the NFL, which is pretty crazy to say. Had a little bit of time in Dallas the year before, but for the most part, that was really his first opportunity. Here's where things get crazy for Nashon Wright. This is the definition of a boomer bust player. Dude was targeted 93 times. 93. Do you know who you target 93 times? Bad corners. That's who you target 93 times through the course of a season. I haven't even run this. I don't know if he played a full 17 or not. But what, 93, if he played, let's just say 17 games, that's about 5.5 targets per game. That's a lot of targets. I should look really quick just to see what he did ultimately play or how many games he played last year, because I am very much interested to see how many targets that amounted to per game. It looks like he played the most. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He played 19 games with the playoff game. So it's not, it's still bad. It's still bad that there's that many targets. 93 divided by 19? That's still about 5 targets per game. That's a lot of targets. He gave up 60 completions on those 93 targets. So that's a very high completion percentage for 800 yards and 8 touchdowns and 8 penalties. If I told you a corner, just for comparison's sake, all right, because I know everyone doesn't like Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon this past year had 88 targets, okay? So 88 targets on Nixon, just to go back to right at 93. Nixon gave up 55 completions. Wright gave up 60. Wright gave up 800 yards. Nixon gave up 623. Wright gave up 8 touchdowns. Nixon gave up 7. Wright gave up, had 8 penalties. Nixon had 13, which is just an insane number. But here's the big difference. Here's the big difference. Wright had 7 pass breakups, but 5 interceptions. Had 5 interceptions. Now, Nixon was really high up in pass breakups with 13. That's a really big number, but only 1 interception. So it's just an interesting juxtaposition and an interesting look at Nation Wright, who, you know, 7 pass breakups and 5 interceptions those are good numbers. Those are very good numbers. And he's good against the run. He's got good size, but gets targeted a ton, gives up a lot of yards, gives up a lot of touchdowns, had 8 penalties. He's kind of Keyshawn with some more interceptions is kind of what you're looking at. I still think he'd be a fit, but this is going to be somebody who, based on his year this past year, probably gets a significant contract. And I think somebody's going to regret that contract pretty quick. I would probably stay away from it. He is young enough, or at least inexperienced enough, meaning that was his first real year, that maybe there's still some, you know, leveling out and he can continue to upgrade. But I would stay away from this one if I were Green Bay. Next one is one I like a lot. Jalen Watson, corner for the Kansas City Chiefs, 6'2", 197, 28 in September, 74.1 PFF grade, 69.6 the year before that, targeted 59 times, 35 completions, 447 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 3 pass breakups, 69.0 quarterback rating with 5 penalties. The year before, targeted 35 times, 20 completions, 282 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks, 5 pass breakups, 92.8 rating, and 3 penalties. He's been good. He's been good in coverage. He's a very, very good tackler. He's aggressive. You can play him in press. You can play him in man. You can play him in zone. He would be another awesome fit in really any defense, regardless of what Gannon wants to play. The issue here, again, is Watson's going to get a pretty penny on the open market. I think he's probably above Green Bay's range, but he's a player at age 28. That you at least have to look into to see if you can find a way to get him to Green Bay and really improve your secondary. I'll say it again, similar to Jamel Dean, if you get Watson, Nixon with Bullard in the slot, Williams and McKinney at safety, I'd feel so much better about that defensive backfield. So he's another name to keep an eye on. Next is Alante Taylor. I like Alante Taylor. He's got a great demeanor. He is an aggressive tackler. He's inconsistent as a tackler and a run defender, but he's aggressive. I like the way that he plays the games. You can blitz him. He has versatility. You can play him outside and in the slot. But he is another very Jekyll or Hyde player. And personally, I think he's a slot corner. I think that's where he's best, especially blitzing off the edge. I think that's what he, again, does really well. I think he's a good run defender overall. It's a little Jekyll and Hyde, but I think he can do that from the slot. I don't think he's as good of an outside corner. And this just reminds me a little bit too much of Nate Hobbs, where you grab a nickel corner and you try to play him on the outside. He's played a lot on the outside, so don't get me wrong, but you're playing him out of position. He's 6 foot, 199, 27 years old, 63.8 PFF grade, only a 45.0 PFF grade the year prior. But this is another one. Listen to these numbers. This past year, targeted 89 times, 62 completions, 597 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, 6 pass breakups, a 108.7 rating with 4 penalties. And the year before that, targeted 110 times, gave up 79 completions for 998 yards. He almost gave up 1,000 yards receiving on his own in a season. That's insane. 6 touchdowns, no picks did have 11 pass breakups that year, but a 117.9 rating, six penalties. To be inconsistent against the run, to be that poor against the pass, to be what I think is more of a slot corner. I love his demeanor, but that's a hard pass for me, a very hard pass. Next is another one I really like, Monterrick Brown, Jacksonville, 6'1", 90, 27 years old in August he's going to be. 72.0 PFF grade this year, 62.2 the year before. In coverage, was targeted 68 times, gave up 37 completions, only 383 yards, three touchdowns, two picks, nine pass breakups, a 73.3 quarterback rating with three penalties. The year before that was targeted 80 times, 56 completions, 634 yards, four touchdowns, one pick, five pass breakups, six penalties, and a 104.9 rating. The thing that you saw with Monterrick Brown is over his first 4 years in the league, he got better every single year. He's continued to progress upward. If he could take one more step, he's going to be a really, really good corner in this league. He's already good. That would be one I'd be interested in if I were Green Bay. I don't know what the going rate's going to be. It's probably in that $14 million range, maybe more than that, but he's a good corner. And if you could find a way to get him in Green Bay, I'd be pretty excited about that. Next is another Jekyll and Hyde, you know, up and down sort of corner. That's Reek Woolen, who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl, of course, this weekend. 6'4", 205, great size. 27 years old in May, still in the prime of his career. 60.1 PFF grade this year, 67.9 the year before that. Targeted 76 times so far this year in coverage. 42 completions, 405 yards, five touchdowns, one pick, 10 pass breakups, 86.8 rating, but 10 penalties. And then the year before was targeted 67 times, but only gave up 37 completions, 393 yards, six touchdowns, three picks, eight pass breakups, seven penalties, and an 83.7 quarterback rating. There's so much here. He's a very bad tackler, despite his size. He's not a good run defender. He's got great length, breaks up a lot of passes. We'll give up some completions. We'll get beat. We'll give up the touchdowns. He saw the play that he had, you know, what, a week ago against the Rams where he was taunting and then gave up the big touchdown the very next play. That's the Reek Woolen experience. This is somebody who on one drive or one play or one game, you're going to be like, this is the best corner on the team. I love this guy. The next game, you're like, get this guy off the team. I don't want anything to do with him. I would stay away personally, but, you know, a lot of these guys, even the ones I'm saying stay away from, you know, arguably could be Green Bay's number one corner right now. So that's worth mentioning here, that there's a lot of ways to upgrade, and any of these names could be potentially interesting. How about an old friend? Rasul Douglas, 6'2", 209, 31 years old in August, had a 73.5 PFF grade this past year for Miami, a 53.9 the year before in Buffalo. In Buffalo the year before, he looked totally washed. These are the Buffalo numbers first. 62 targets, 45 completions, 569 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, only three pass breakups, had 10 penalties, had a passer rating of 116.9. And if you remember, when anyone was asking last offseason, do I want Rasul Douglas? I'm like, I did the Daniel Bryan. No. I wanted nothing to do with him because he looked completely washed in Buffalo. Well, Rasul Douglas has revitalized his career before, and apparently he did it again. He had a much better year in Miami, targeted 75 times still, 41 completions, 410 yards, three touchdowns, two picks, nine pass breakups, 72.6 passer rating, took 44 points off the passer rating, and went down from 10 penalties to five penalties, a lot less grabby in 2025 than he was in 2024. I'd be okay with it. I don't want to break the bank. Again, he'd probably come in and be Green Bay's number one corner right now, but you got to get younger, and I think you got to find a way to get, you know, try to get it at least even better. But if you needed a stopgap and you wanted to bring him back for a year, I'd be open to it. Again, he played good football in Miami. That tape from Buffalo still gives me a lot of concerns, though. I don't think he's got quite the same juice that he once did, and he was never the fastest guy in the world. But he played good football last year, and you could do worse than taking a flyer on him in 2026. All right, a couple more, but one under the radar candidate. Benjamin St. Juste, player I liked a little bit coming out of college. Great size, 6'3", 200, will be 29 in September. A 76.3 PFF grade this past year. Only 378 snaps, so not a ton. Had a 47.7 grade the year prior. So this was a little bit of a breakout year for him. Was targeted 40 times, only gave up 19 completions, lower than 50% completion percentage, for 205 yards, one touchdown, one pick, three pass breakups, two penalties, and a 60.9 rating. Again, minimal playing time, 300 some snaps overall, but 378 it was, but he played well in those 378 snaps. He'd be one that I'd be open to taking a chance on. The year before, though, was targeted 78 times when he was a more full-time player, 49 completions against 638 yards, four touchdowns, no picks, seven pass breakups, but nine penalties and a 105.6 quarterback rating. Should be noted that St. Juste is a very good and aggressive tackler, though, as well, that just came off his best year, although, again, in a small sample size in coverage. If you're looking for something on the cheap that maybe has a little bit of upside, Benjamin St. Juste could be that guy that makes some sense for the Packers. Last but not least is Joshua Williams, 6'3", 193. Again, another player with great size. 27 years old in October. Only played 17 snaps this past year. Was out with an injury almost the entirety of the year. But had a 64.3 PFF grade the year before that and a 74.4 grade in 2023. In 2024, he was targeted 33 times, 20 completions, 196 yards, one touchdown, no picks, four pass breakups, an 87.4 quarterback rating with six penalties. And the year before that, targeted 29 times, only 12 completions for 103 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, four pass breakups, a 74.4 rating with two penalties. He's been a good player. He's just had some injury issues. And if you could get him a little bit cheaper, he'd be a very interesting potential pickup as well. We'll be right back. Some other unrestricted free agents that I just don't think make sense for Green Bay. Cam Taylor-Britt, he's not a great tackler, struggled in coverage. I would pass. Cordell Flott for the Giants, he's a little bit too thin, doesn't tackle well. I would pass. Greg Newsome, stay away. He didn't work out the way I loved him coming out of college. I had an easy first round grade on him, just a miss for me. I've watched his career pretty closely. He struggled a lot in Cleveland. Jacksonville thought that they could get something more out of him at the trade deadline this past year. They had a cornerback swap. He did worse in Jacksonville, I think, than he did in Cleveland. I would just stay away. Don't touch it with a 1,000-foot pole. He's not great in coverage. He's not great in tackling. It's not as good as you would think it would be. Eric Stokes, it felt like he needed the change of scenery. It did him well. I would just stay away, meaning Stokes. It just didn't seem to work in Green Bay. So why come back? If I were him, I would go in a different direction. I have had some people ask about Jair Alexander as well. Just don't see it. Even if he does come back and play, the tackling's been too much of an issue. The injuries have been an issue. Again, he's on the smaller side. He's not willing to put his nose in there and go make the aggressive plays. I cannot see that one happening in any way, shape, or form. How about some cut candidates? First one, Sean Murphy Bunting, 6'1", 195. Turns 29 in June, did not play in 2025 due to injury, had a 56.5 PFF grade only in 2024, but was in Arizona with Jonathan Gannon, should be noted. In 2024, was targeted 52 times, 37 completions, 390 yards, two touchdowns, three picks, three pass breakups, nine penalties, but only an 81.4 passer rating. He's not a great tackler. This would more be if you could get him on the cheap and Gannon put in a good word for him. Green Bay could be interested. I don't have a ton of interest here, but yeah, especially coming off of injury. But if Gannon wants him, it could be somebody that Green Bay looks at. Legarius Sneed, Tennessee Titans, 6'1", 192, just turned 29 in January. 50.4 PFF grade this year, 36.3 the year before that. Just a long story short here, he was really good in KC, got traded to Tennessee, put two awful years on tape, two very injured years on tape too in Tennessee, and now is probably going to get cut. And some team will take a flyer on him, hoping they can get him back to the way he was playing in Kansas City. But it's been two really rough years. The overarching thought should probably be stay away. But maybe you take a flyer, see if you can get him back playing like he did in KC. But it was rough in Tennessee. How about Jalen Johnson for the Bears? I don't expect him to get cut. I don't expect him to go anywhere. But over the cap had him as a potential cap casualty. And if so, yeah, absolutely. 6'1", 196, turns only 27 in April. Had a 58.7 PFF grade this past year, but dealt with some injuries. 76.2 the year before that. Was targeted 26 times for 16 completions, 298 yards, no touchdowns, one pick, four pass breakups, an 85.1 rating and one penalty. He would be an unbelievable signing. He'd probably break the bank a little bit too, but I would expect that he stays in Chicago. I'd be pretty stunned if he got cut. Marshawn Lattimore, 6'1", 192, turns 30 in May. I'm actually going to do these next two together. The other one is Denzel Ward, 5'11", 190, turns 29 in April. What I'll say about these two players is the name is better than the play at this point in time. I think Ward's a little bit better in coverage. Lattimore is actually a good tackler and run defender, but Lattimore just has not been the same in coverage. Had 9 penalties this past year. You know, it wasn't terrible, but he's also really battled injuries. You could try it, give it a shot, see if you can get him back to form, but he's not had a great couple of years in Washington. And Ward, the one thing I'll say about Denzel Ward, again, 59.2 PFF grade this past year for Ward, but, you know, targeted 54 times, 32 completions, 355, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 4 pass breakups. Not terrible numbers. I do wonder if getting him out of Cleveland wakes him up a little bit. I'm going to actually take it back. Lattimore, probably not much interest. If Ward came available, I would be willing to take a flyer on that. He probably goes for too much money, though. I think the name recognition's too big. I think he probably gets a big contract. I'd be open to trying it just to see if getting him out of Cleveland and that change of scenery maybe wakes him up a little bit. But the name recognition for both Lattimore and Ward is a little bit better than what their play on the field has been these last couple seasons. Those are cut candidates. That's all I got. So unrestricted free agent options, Trayvon Diggs, Jamel Dean, Nashawn Wright, Jalen Watson, Alante Taylor, Monteric Brown, Reek Woolen, Rasul Douglas, Benjamin St. Juice, and Joshua Williams. Some cut candidates, Sean Murphy Bunting, Legarius Sneed, Jalen Johnson, Marshawn Lattimore, and Denzel Ward. Some trade candidates. Just two names I'll throw out there. We've talked about Jerrion Jones at the trade deadline last year. I talked about him as well in our trade candidate episode. I would love it. I have a feeling Jacksonville is not going to want anything to do with trading him away, but if you could find a way, I'd be all for it. There has been some buzz and rumors that maybe Trent McDuffie could come available from KC as well. Awesome. That'd be amazing. I just think it would cost way too much. And I don't think Green Bay is going to give a premium draft pick plus a huge contract to a corner. Plus McDuffie's, I think, best in the slot, even though he can easily play outside as well. His superpower is playing in the slot. I don't see it, but a couple names at least to kind of keep an eye on there. What I would do if I were Green Bay, I would look really, really hard at Jamel Dean, Jalen Watson, and Monteric Brown. I think those are the three names that make a ton of sense for the Packers. I would absolutely make a phone call to Jacksonville about Jerrion Jones to see if there's any way you could work out a deal to get him to Green Bay. But I think the real answer here is probably to go focus on the draft. It's not a great free agency class, and the ones that are out there are probably going to break the bank a little bit too much. And then I'd probably bring in one lower price veteran to come in and compete. Maybe Rasul Douglas makes some sense from that group. If you could get a Benjamin St. Juice or Joshua Williams, I'd be for bringing those guys in as well. But maybe one of the cheaper options and then really attack corner aggressively in the draft. What I think Green Bay will do is the exact same thing that I probably would done, is focus on the draft and maybe a lower price vet to come in and compete. I have a feeling you're going to still see Nixon and Valentine have opportunities to be in prominent roles this year. Draft a couple players, bring in a veteran, you know, probably a cheaper veteran, and see who wins, and hope that Micah Parsons can be healthy and that defensive front can give you a little bit more pressure so the burden's not quite as much on that secondary like it was at the end of the year once Micah went out with injury. That's all I got for you. Those are the names to kind of keep an eye on. Let me know in the comments who you'd be most interested in. We will be back tomorrow going over all the other positions. So we've gone over the three main ones: offensive line, defensive tackle, and now corner. And tomorrow we'll look at the leftovers. I got 15 names that I want to go over that I think would be interesting pickups for Green Bay, even if they aren't in the positions that are of the most need at the moment. See you guys very, very soon. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members: PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nienau, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zilch Zillerton. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.